Blog Talk Radio.
You don't need another political uprising. We don't need another conqueror on the scene. What we need is a special word that will burn within our hearts and give us direction from above. A word from the Lord, just one word from the Lord, will move all the doubts and cause the sun to shine and give peace of mind. Speak, Lord. Thy wisdom and thy understanding, though we lack the very love you show in the sun. Lord, we walked in bad ways, and we stand so much to gain. So give us your word, Lord. Speak, Lord.
Clearly in Dark Times. This is your program host, Brenda K. Sanders. Well, I'm glad that you could tune into the program today. Sorry, I had a mishap where I had to broadcast a little later than what I had normally scheduled, but it's okay. I'm here, and I am ready to go forward with the broadcast today. You know, I always say that this is a motivational outreach program. This is a program that wants to reach out to those that are discouraged today, those that don't see a way out. And it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what gender you are. It doesn't matter what race you are. It does not matter where you are economically or in what geographical location. I think, and I know, in fact, I know, that all of us get discouraged at one point or another. Discouragement is a little different from depression. Discouragement is just the opposite of encouragement. When you're discouraged, you tend to entertain negative thoughts. You tend to think negatively, not seeing a positive result or even a positive way to acquire a positive result. And so discouragement can be very, very damaging because it causes us to, if we're on a mission, if we're on a pathway, it can cause us to abandon it. It can cause us to lash out at others. It can cause us to blame others, to blame God even. And I am the one that can tell you about it because I've been through it. And it's not very easy to get through an atmosphere that is promoting, and it seems like establishing discouragement or negativity. It is such an hour of darkness that there is a spiritual fight that you're battling probably from the inside. Because I've been there in those moments, and it seems like no matter what, there is a darkness there, and you're thinking, oh, God is not here with me. God is not helping me. He's not going to help me. And those that are against me are going to overtake me. This situation is going to overtake me. You know, whatever it may be, it may be an hour where it is sort of hard to see anything to go forward about. Well, that's what I'm here for. I'm here to talk to those people. I'm here to speak to those individuals who may be in that place. Now, let me tell you something. I've been in that place. That's how I could talk to you about being in that place. And I think the more mature we become in the things of God, there's more of a test to pass in that regard. And we simply have to believe God in that situation. It is so hard sometimes. Even with me, an experienced believer, having gone through, the worst of circumstances, it can get to a point where you still have a negative pouting session, a negative moment where you just said, this is not worth it. I'm done with it. And move into whatever you're going to move into. It can be a very destructive moment, and a lot can be done in that time when the darkness is there. That's why I talk about this program, Moving Through the Darkness, Seeing Clearly in the Dark. My goodness, and I'm going to be just truthful with you here. I have been in that place, and there's nowhere else I can look except to look to the Bible, to look to the Word of God. And it has sustained me in those very dark times. And I know that is the purpose of the Bible. Now, I can base this program on my experiences alone, and I can tell you things, but there's no way that I can undergird the effectiveness and significance of the Word except to show you yourself in the Word. And even today, the Lord has shown me myself in this Bible. And that's why I continue to give it the honor that it deserves, because it's simply a true account of what God wants us to learn and what He wants us to know. It is a continuing example of how we should stand and how we should look at God. Well, my theme scripture is always 1 Corinthians 13:12, and it goes as this. Now, today I'm reading the New International Version of this scripture, of this particular scripture. It says, "For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. You know, I'm telling you, it is so enlightening to see something or someone face to face. You know, I have been experiencing this new thing called Periscope, and I'm telling you, it is an eye opener, good and bad. I mean, it's an eye opener. When we can grow with intimacy, and I'm talking, like I said, I always say the bad intimacy, but not the bad intimacy, but not sexual intimacy. I'm talking about being intimate with the things of God and then being intimate with other individuals. It's certainly a true, truth-telling hour. And who doesn't want that? I mean, I don't know anybody who doesn't want that. So many people walk around with their heads in the clouds or their head in the sand, buried in the sand. I don't know why. I can't understand those individuals. Because if you don't want to hear the truth, sooner or later you're going to be run over by a bus if you don't want to hear the truth. I don't know anyone. I don't know anyone that says that. I don't want to know the truth. I don't want to know the truth. I don't want to know the truth. But I know people that act it out, you know, that they don't want to know the truth. Maybe they don't want to know the truth about a situation or a mate or spouse or their job or whatever. But first of all, God is always there to reveal the truth if you want to receive it. And truth is not always well taken. I always say that. The last thing that we want sometimes is to hear the truth about things. But as we move closer to God and to personally intimate with Him, He says we're going to see face to face. Because right now, the second part of that verse says, now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. I think the Amplified Version says that even as I am fully and clearly known and understood by God. I mean, we can't get the truth about situations until we move closer to the situations. I'm the biggest advocate of it, even before some of the internet things that we have. I'm a fan of just face-to-face. It's not going to hurt. I think it can only bring out the best or the worst, which we should be prepared for, because God is not saying everything is perfect face-to-face. He's saying that I'm going to reveal myself face-to-face. I'm going to reveal you face-to-face. And so there we have it, an opportunity to know the truth. And I always say, you know, I'm not going to pass it up, and I don't think anyone else should either. Sometimes we get caught up and things that we should not be caught up in. The truth will help us, overcome disappointments or whatever. But certainly if we seek our God, He's going to show us what we have to know. And seeing clearly in the dark place is where we can have success and move in and out. Now, today I'm talking about Abraham, as usual. I'm talking about Abraham. I have entitled this program, The Reset of the Cycle of Patience, and then I put a little dash there and I said unbelief. One thing I know about Abraham when we're walking through the cycle of patience is that this man, he believes God. I have no doubt that when he started this walk, he really believed God. I've moved through chapter 14, most of it, when Abraham had to become a warrior. I mean, and I read a commentary, as I told you last week, that this is the first account in the Bible where Abraham, there was the first war, here in Genesis chapter 14. It's Abraham. I mean, how many people think of Abraham as a warrior? I mean, like you would David. Well, he was. He was a warrior. And sometimes we have to go to war. I mean, people will talk about you and say, oh, that's not Christian, and that's not that, and that's not that. Sometimes we have to go to war. and add some fire to our faith. Faith without works is dead. That is a scripture. Sometimes we just can't sit around and do nothing, really. I mean, we have to get up and walk the walk that we say we believe in positive circumstances and negative circumstances. And in this situation, Abraham, in the middle of this journey he was on with God to be the father of many nations, he had to go to war. And I guess he said, well, wait a minute, God. You woke me up and gave me a promise, me and my wife, and here I am in a war. Now, he's already been through a famine. He's already been where he was, I think he was acting in a little unbelief. I know whether he ever preached to me, you know, when he gave his wife up, when he got to Egypt. They knew something wrong. Let me tell you something. Your enemies know what God is doing in your life. They may not say it to you, but God is speaking to them too. They know what God is doing in your life. And they're not going to let you know, but they know. They have a perception that they know what God is doing in your life. Now, it's up to them to decide to do God's will or to fight against God's will. But God is going to win in the end. When Abraham gave up Sarah in Egypt, Pharaoh knew. He said, something ain't right here. It's just something wrong. Nobody said they were called of God. They were mere mortal men. But God told them something. Something is not right here. And, you know, we tend to, oh, yeah. We want to, you know, make everybody out to be, oh, they don't know what they're talking about. Oh, that's crazy. That's whack. God deals with us when we're in the wrong place. And he will use mere mortal men to do it. He will use mere mortal. They ain't saved. Oh, he will use mere mortal men to sustain his will when we get out of line. Hello. Hallelujah there. I mean it. That is the truth. And so, in fact, they didn't even serve God. Pharaoh didn't serve God. When Moses came up, he resisted all he could. So God uses people. Quit saying, oh, they don't serve God. They don't read the Bible. God has a way of using everyone. Even your enemies will be made your footstool. Oh, they look mighty and powerful now. Oh, I'm getting off my message today. But sooner or later, they have to submit to the will of God. But in 14, in Genesis 14, when Abraham has to fight this war, and I'm going to get through this very fast, the Sodomites were defeated in this war, but in the meantime, the four kings that went out, the Chedorlaomers, king of Elam, and title and name of nations, and Aframel, king of Shinar, and Arunach. Oh, there's no end there. Arunach, king of Elazar, four kings with five. They had taken their goods, and they had taken Lot. And the thing is, you know, Abraham was supposed to be getting rid of Lot, but there were women, there were children involved, there was others involved. And so he can always be prepared for war. So many people are uncomfortable with confrontation. Well, how are you going to succeed in life if you call yourself walking in faith and you're scared of confrontation? Prepare. There was 318 men within his own house, which he had trained for war. And I'm trying to find a scripture here real fast because I'm trying to get over to chapter 15. But these were people that he would not have been probably prompted to go to war except for the fact that Lot and some other Abraham's other family members had been captured and the goods taken. And Abraham, let's see, he's going through all this, a war now breaking out. I'm trying to see what else happened to Abraham. This is after God promises over and over, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. He and Lot fell out, the herdsmen of both of them, they fell out. Well, that was God's will. You see what I'm saying? It looks like a terrible event, but that was God's will because he told them right up front in chapter 12, verse 1, separate from thy house. Separate, Abraham. Leave Lot alone. And God has his reason all the time. He knows more than we do sometimes. What nerve with me. He knows more than we do all the time. And sometimes the circumstance can look so negative, and yet it is the will of God. It is God's purpose. Lot winds up in a negative, evil place in Sodom, and then guess what? He himself has to bear the penalty of going the wrong way, being disobedient to God. He gets caught up in this war, gets captured, their goods are taken. Abraham has to rescue his nephew and their family and get the goods back. And, you know, it's hard sometimes when you tell somebody something and they go another way, and then you have to seemingly pay the price for their disobedience. But moving into chapter 15, the reason why I say reset in the cycle of patience, the thing that reset, the causes of reset is unbelief. Now, I know it's just like, wow, I've been through a war. I've been through a famine. I've been through inward strife with family members. I've had to abandon my house, go to a new land. What do you expect? Unbelief is going to come in a minute. I am tired. But in chapter 15, we see this. God has to reset Abram's faith. He has to reset it. Why? He just came through this war. And although he won the war and he won his family back, he is distraught. He is discouraged. And God resets the whole cycle of patience. He starts it over. What does he start it over with? A phase, the first phase that I've talked about, is the promise. There is a promise in your life that God's going to fulfill. It looks bleak. It looks dark. It looks like it's not going to be fulfilled. Look, I've been through the famine. I've been through poverty. I've been through war. I've been through hard-headed family members. And God says, I want you to still believe. And God resets the whole thing. He starts out with a promise again, just this big. We've never seen Abram be this negative. But look at verse 1 of chapter 15. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not. Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Here we go. And he says in verse 2, and Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? Didn't he tell him what he was going to give him? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. What he is saying, look, I have no heirs. I mean, what are you going? I'm childless. Well, we know the Lord repeats his promise to Abram on several occasions. Even after hearing it, Abram is discouraged after going through all of these things. He resets the whole cycle of patience, and he resets Abram's faith. He resets everything, and it starts all over again. In chapter 13, it says, I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. And rise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, and I will give it unto thee. You see, he continues to reassure Abram as he is bringing these promises to pass. And he resets it, starts it all over again. This cycle of patience, I'm going to say, he resets his faith again. He, and seeing Abram is discouraged, he's coming to a dark place. And God says, fear not. I mean, when it looks dark and it really looks like it's not anything, God must have made a mistake. There are those of you who say, God, you lied to me. I've heard people say that before. And in their utter distrust and the utter discouragement, sometimes that can come out. And it says in verse 3, it says, Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given me no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thy heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now unto heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. My God, that's a mighty promise. And he believed, this is verse 6, in the Lord. We're talking about Abraham. See, he's resetting it. He's causing him to believe again. He's going to get into expectancy in a minute. We go into that second phase, because expectancy is strong faith. So he's building him up again where there is strong faith. At the same time, he is causing Abram to comply with some of the instructions he gave him when he started off in verse 12. It says in verse 6 here in chapter 15, he said, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. At that point, it took some righteousness. I guess he did. He gave him credit. After all this you've been through, and you're still going to say, I believe God. But he had to reset it now. He had to start all over, undergird his faith once again, and so that he can move forward again. In verse 7, he says, and he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? Uh-oh, he has a little lapse there of his faith. He's still challenging the whole thing. He's looking at God. I've been through all of this. And in verse 9 he says, and he said unto him, take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto them all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. So here we have a physical darkness that's coming upon Abram. We have his spiritual darkness, because he's starting to doubt. He says, yeah, I believe. It's counted to him for righteousness. But here again, he is a little doubtful. In verse 8, he says, and he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? You see, he's walking in the confession of it, but his belief is weak. He's trying to get him back up to the expectancy point where he was, where at Bethel, where he continued gave an offering to the Lord. I mean, that he just did that to support his faith and his belief in what God said. At this point, though, he's being instructed, okay, you need to give another sacrificial offering so that I can show you what God has for you. And see, he's rebuilding that thing which has been torn down, essentially, by some circumstances. Some of it being him maybe not believing God. Some of it is because God wants to build him up in a supernatural way, in a super way, where darkness will not bother him anymore. That could be the case. When you go through a darkness and you still believe God, that's when your faith is strengthened. And that's when you come into the fullness of expectancy and, of course, fulfillment. Well, I didn't get to my tags today, and I'm looking at my studio wall here. I'm not even able to read them. So for some reason, this this screen has shrunk to a point where I can't see what's going on. But in any event, you can read the tags. You see them here. There is a reset of our faith. There is a reset in the cycle of patience. God starts all over after all the plagues, after all the tests, and after all the trials. And we have to, you know, readjust ourselves and start all over. It's not anything bad. It's not anything negative. It's something just that God does. Okay? When we're looking for Him to fulfill His word, there's sometimes some setbacks. Setbacks may cause a reset. Oh, my goodness. I should have named this episode that. Setbacks can cause resets. But God is starting all over with Abram. He's establishing Himself, even in the dark, dark times. And what I get to next week is when this very big, prominent darkness comes over Abram. It's probably nighttime, but it's in extreme darkness. And then what I want to talk about is when God shines His light of truth in a very, very, very dark situation. Because Abram is having some issues now. But I will talk about that next week when I talk to and deal with, talk about chapter 15. Well, I thank you again for listening to the broadcast. You may go to the link at blogtalkradio.com/ Brenda K. Sanders to listen to an archive broadcast of this episode. You may email me at thinkclearlyinthedark@gmail.com if you should have a prayer request, a comment, a response, any type of communication that you might want to send. You can send it to that email address. Well, again, thank you for listening to the program. Have a very blessed week, and I'll talk to you next time.
get ready to sing a song that was sent to me. And I had already decided what songs I was going to sing. But when I got this song here, I said, oh, wait. There's another good one. Looks like he always come out with good ones. And he wrote something called The Oil of God.